It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. The boys are back. We got lots on our plate today because yesterday was the CHL Top Prospect game. We're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about our standouts, maybe some disappointments. And we got news that the format is going to change starting next year. So we're going to delve into that as well. As per usual, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week. We're going to talk about our Prospect of the Week. And for the Habs fans, we got our Habs Prospect of the Week. So let's get started.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, I am your host, producer Shane, joined by the fantastic Grant McCagan, the fantastic-er, Rocco Zappia. How we doing, fellas?
Great, how you doing?
Better than Grant, apparently.
Yeah, well, no, that's a good description for him, fantastic-er. Because it doesn't mean much. So, yeah, no, that one works.
All right. I'll make up a word for you next show, Grant. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Okay, thanks.
So, boys, yesterday, by the time we're filming, this will be released later on. But we had our CHL Top Prospect game. This is always something that, it's pretty exciting, right? You get to see the big boys from all three CHL leagues come together and play one game. And you know, me personally, I love watching these games because they're actual games, right? It's not like the All-Star game where they're doing all sorts of fancy things and they're not really taking it seriously. These guys are showing up in front of like 200 scouts. So they're really trying to prove themselves. So overall, like Rocco, I think we'll start with you. What did you think about the game?
I really liked watching the game last night. It was the last couple of years weren't quite as tight checking. This one was really tight checking from the beginning. I think that speaks a little bit to how deep the defensive class is this year. We're calling it the year of the defenseman. And I think, you know, there was a handful of them last night who looked like pretty solid players. And it's going to be really interesting, I think, to see how they end up shaking out in terms of the actual draft order itself. But it was a tight team. It looked like a playoff game last night, not a showcase game. To your point, like you said, it's not a typical All-Star game. These guys are there playing for a reason. They're playing for draft position. And every year, there's always players that can be a little bit harder to read for whatever reason. And you get them in a game amongst their peers. And that can sometimes help if you're having a tougher time reading. So the game is important. Now, it's not the end all be all. A prospect is not going to shoot himself from the third round up to the first based on one game and vice versa. He's not going to drop 50 spots based on one game because it is a one-off. Guys are going to have good games or bad games, and that's fine. But it does help give you a read on guys. And I really like the quality of play yesterday. There's a couple guys, two guys I'd like to mention for each side that really stood out to me from, you know, the start of the game all through periods. Now, different guys stood out at different points, but consistently I thought TJ Ginla and Carter Yakimchuk for the white team were just unbelievable, like all game long. Now, the Senecki and Greentree, they are a really cool combination to watch as well, but Ginla's all over the ice. He's a puck hound. He does it all. He's got unbelievable speed, unbelievable skill. He's hard. Like, I don't know what else you would want in a winger, sincerely. Yeah. He's going to be able to play on any single situation on the ice. He's a no-brainer for a team that needs a winger. Now, Yakimchuk is a guy that I had been having a little bit of a harder time getting a read on. I've seen a couple good game, bad game from sort of thing. So to see him last night really stand out against the other top players, I kind of mentally gave him a little check mark in my book that I had been looking for from him. He looks like a guy that has some pretty crazy upside, being with that kind of size and skill combination as a defenseman. It's pretty nuts. And then for the red team, Raul Borlardi was the player of the game for them. He had a fantastic game. And this is not a guy that this is actually my first really live look. I've seen a couple highlights and that, but it was my first time seeing him. And I was really impressed with what he brought to the table. Thought he read the game from an offensive hockey IQ standpoint. I thought he was really strong. He seemed to be always, the puck seemed to kind of be around him a lot on its own, which is a good sign typically. And the other guy for Red, who this is actually a guy that probably of anyone in this game, I maybe changed my tune on him the most. I wasn't super high on him, admittedly, and is Colton Roberts. He's another big defenseman. I had some concerns about his skating and the way he read the game a little bit, but I think more now I maybe just caught a bad game or two of his earlier on, because he did look really mobile. His skating for his size, I mean, he's 6 foot whatever he is, 6 foot six, and he moves really well for a guy that size. And he got up and joined the rush and was able to get back, and he made some nice creative plays offensively. And he's a guy that I'm going to have to take a longer look at, that I think maybe I got a bad read on at the start of the year, because he really did impress me last night.
Yeah,
I agree. And I mean, we've discussed Roberts, and I don't know how many times I said to you, have a look at Roberts. And you finally did, and you questioned the skating. And I didn't have that issue. I've liked them, actually, and kind of been on an island. The NHL guys haven't got to see him. I mean, most of the guys that I deal with are Eastern scouts, so they've only, I think, two or three of them have only seen him one time. And, you know, Vancouver's kind of up and down team, and he's had some inconsistent games, but I saw several early ones and games from last year when I was scouting him in the summer. And I think he could potentially be a top 40 guy. Based on last night's game, I think he played, arguably played better than Morelli and Brunick and a few guys that we might have a little higher ranked. So we'll keep a close eye on him the rest of the year, and he could end up being a climber. You agree with that?
Yeah, I completely agree. After seeing him last night, and again, this is the thing, against all his peers in one shot, it does make it a little bit easier to read, because it adjusts for things like strength of team, strength of opponent. You know, everyone on your team is good. There's no one hanging you out to dry and making you look bad. And there's no weak players, and you know your team's no better than the other, so you can't run them out of the arena either. So it kind of balances that playing field. And to your point, Grant, like you said, we have guys. We've got Alec and a couple guys that I really like, Fisher and Brunick. I thought Roberts was better than that lot last night. When you have that kind of size and skating on the back end, I mean, teams always covet it. And he looked like he had. An offensive dimension, like he wasn't, not like the puck was a grenade on his stick at all. He was making nice plays. That assist he made on the I think it was the first team red goal, but he got the puck and then made a seeing eye pass across about four sticks to the other side of the ice, and Bullard buried it, and that was a really, really nice play. But I do agree with Grant, and like you said, he had some inconsistency. So the game or two that I saw him, it could have just been a down game where I didn't think he was as quick. But last night, I think his skating is a plus asset for him, especially at that size.
Yeah. It's funny. Bob's list there, TSN's list, had Yakimchuk, I believe, measured at 6'1¾". And there's no way that he's 6'3". Like they have him listed at 6'3", and he's that for sure. But, his dangling, at that size, a defenseman,
Yeah.
I've had Bob said the other day on our podcast that there are scouts that he pulled that have Yakimchuk top five. So, you know, he's a guy that if you're comfortable with the skating, and I think last night, what I find in these games, one of the things that can, you know, that one of the more important things that you can glean from it are guys that you have question marks about skating. You know, on the one hand, Beaudoin, I didn't think stood out. There are questions with the skating and with the pace last night. I thought he was pretty average. Conversely, Yakimchuk, who some guys have, you know, wondered about his skating. I didn't see, he was fine with the pace last night. And I think maybe the skating issues have been overblown a bit. Yeah, he's got to work on, you know, maybe his mechanics aren't perfect or whatever, but it may well just be a strength, you know, the 6'3 kid that just needs to get a bit stronger, because he's got some dangle in his game, and he can get around people, and with that size and puck protection skills, you know. And I agree, you know, but obviously the two of us have loved Iginla, and it's kind of nice to see, because we've had him in the top 10 since early December. You know, you see these lists, 15, 20. Well, he looked top 10 last night, didn't he? So it's nice when you get that confirmation. And they were, Gordon Miller was gushing about him throughout the game last night, which was nice. Obviously, in a low scoring game like that, you know, there were some good defensemen, as Rocco pointed out. I think on the red team, Ellick was fine. I needed to see that from him, I think, because there has been some question about his hockey sense, but from some guys. But I think he's a solid defensive. As long as he plays the simple game, he's solid. He's a big kid that can skate and just don't try to do too much. But Danford was a guy that I thought, he looked better than Morelli. That's the second time we saw them live not that long ago, and we thought that Danford was better than Morelli that night. And last night he was good again. He made some really solid defensive plays. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to also mention the goalie, Mateko.
Both Matekos were good.
Yeah, yeah, right. True. Well, I mean, the goalie especially, you know. Yeah, yeah, it's saves. Funny that they were saying, you know, they had the two names that were like that different that are, you know, that sound the same when they're talking about them. But yeah, but the goalie especially, I mean, we already have Mateko in the third round, so he didn't really, you know, I mean, we knew he was good.
Yeah.
But typically, goalies are kind of the last thing that I scout. And he wasn't on my – people haven't, you know, I wait for guys to tell me who I should be looking at goaltending wise, and then I have a look at them, and I'm going to keep a close eye on him now and probably have him on my list, because he was the best goalie I thought in the game, and had a really solid showing. So that impressed me. Parasak, I thought he showed some skill that, you know, there's been some question mark about just how skilled he is, even though he's been putting up crazy points in the Western League. And that line with Iginla and Catton,
yeah,
they looked really good, and he made some really nice skilled plays. Like, his skating is fine, he's got good hands. We already know how smart he is because he's just been piling up points, but I thought he...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
He acquitted himself fine as far as showing that he has some skill, and maybe that's underrated a bit. We've had him just outside of the first round because of maybe questions and marks about just how much. Because when you're around 6 feet, you want to see some high level skill if you're a first rounder. And I think he put himself in the conversation for being considered for the first round again, based on what we saw against his peers last night against other skill guys. Because then there's also the fact. And I was saying this to Rocco yesterday. One of the things I find that you can take from the top prospect game, guys that are playing on really good teams, they get, you know, sometimes they get the argument that, well, I mean, he's got such good players to play with and they dominate and that's why he's got so many points. Well, Parisak looked good in the top prospect game too. So I don't think it's just a question of him having great, you know, being on a stacked team. Mm-hmm. And then the other one being that a kid that plays on a poor team that doesn't have many, you know, much support who plays well at the top prospect game when he's got more talented players to play with. That often, those are two of the things that I look for in a top prospect game where, you know, you can, Cale Fleury, I always remember back, like he played on just a horrible, they set records for futility in his draft year. But then he went to the top prospects game and like he was minus 50 that year or something. And guys are saying, well, geez, you know, minus 50. Yeah. But then he went to the top prospect game and stood out and hit guys. And, you know, it really helped his draft stock. And people said, oh, okay, it, you know, part of it definitely is that he's on such a horrible team. So that's two things that I also can glean from the top prospect game that I look for in particular. I think those were the main guys that stood out for me. Like Boyard, like you said, obviously Senecki, I thought had good moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gil, I didn't mind. I wanted to see, there's been some questions about his skating from a couple guys, and I thought he looked fine. And they gave him an A too, which I thought was kind of, kind of cool. Like obviously he's well respected as far as his leadership goes, and he probably played in some international events, Hockey Canada before, and they were impressed by the kid that way. So Gil, I think, based on what I saw last night, he might be someone that you consider to move up to the second round if he keeps playing as solidly as he did last night. So those are the main guys that kind of stood out for me last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all three of us have about the same list of names. But really, you know, Tiija Ginla just, for me, blew me away. Like, I've seen videos of him. I know what he can do. But to see him stand out every time he was on the ice against the best, right? You're comparing apples to apples here. These guys are the best in their respective leagues. So to see him stand out against the best, that's even more confirmation of our, you know, you guys ranking him in the top 10 so early on. He's exactly. He's making the recruits crew look pretty good. So Tiija Ginla, man, that's
he was awesome, and for me, he is probably the second best winger available this year. At least that's the guy that I would want if I'm taking a winger. There's one guy that we're going to talk about later on, who's the number one winger. But after him, I'll take a Ginla all day. There's nothing about his game. If you want to nitpick his game, there was a couple times, maybe once or twice, he could have made a pass instead of a hold. But I mean, when you're flying and you're feeling it, just keep the puck. So
exactly. No, he is a defenseman's nightmare. That's what I call him. His forechecking is nonstop. He is so aggressive on the puck and he's so skilled. As a defenseman, that's the exact type of player you do not want to face. So,
I can't wait to see him in a playoff game.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's built for that. He is built for that. So great stuff there. Grant, do you have something?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, we didn't get to see the Selly last night. We were looking forward to that.
Apparently, that was a myth. Apparently, Berkeley Cat made that up.
So. I like how serious he took that. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. But no, that was funny. And then I had heard the selfish knock somewhere along the line here with him. And maybe it's because he doesn't have as many, like he scored a lot of goals, but he made some dandy passes last night. Yeah, those little, you know, into that one tip pass that he made that was just excellent to Catton. That line was flying. And he's, you know, I don't think the NHL is going to make the mistake of not drafting this Ginla in the top 10 like they did the last time around.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure Craig Button's going to call a few people, say, listen, I drafted an Ginla. You should too. But so, you know, that's about our standouts, right? But now today we had some interesting information coming from Jeff Merrick, who said that the format of this game is going to change moving forward. And I think it's for the better. He said that it's going to be a two-game series. It's going to be the top CHL team against the top US team. So now you get even, you know, you get to see the US against Canada, essentially, right? The CHL players go at it for two games. I'm loving this. Like if that's true, I'm loving this. That's awesome.
Well, I don't mind the CHL top prospect game, to be honest with you, but I'm just wondering whether the two games means that there's going to be two squads on each.
You'd have to think so. You'd have.
I hope so.
Because it's three leagues,
there's
right?
There's more than 20 good prospects to look at each year from Canada, for sure. And arguably in the States today now, too. Like every one of those kids in that game last night with typically, you know, all but maybe three or four get drafted and sometimes all. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why you, you know, you watch this game with so much interest because there's kids that maybe are even off the radar a little bit that play and you get to see them against their peers and you get to judge them against their peers. So I really hope that the two games means that it's two squads that get to play. Yeah. Otherwise, I've got a little bit of an issue with it, to be honest with you, because there's more than 20 kids that I want to look at.
That's the thing, and I agree with you there, Grant. As long as it's not taking away spots from CHL kids, because you know there is more than 20, and not only that, it's the guys after the top 20 that you really need to see. Anyways, you really want to see, you know, these guys from, you know, you got the top 10 guys or so, and that's fine. But after that, you know, to see them against each other is how you can really get a good gauge. So to take half of them out, not that they're going to do that, but if they did, that would be unfortunate. And the kids deserve to play in a showcase game too. Like it's a highlight for their career, regardless of where they end up as a pro player. So, you know, two games set, hopefully it means, I would assume that they're going to take two different rosters. I wouldn't mind a little hybrid tournament where you have the one CHL top prospects game, the two teams, and then from those two teams you take 20 to play the two games against the Americans, and you do both and have it a, you know, like they used to do three games against Russia before all that started, so you could do three games here and make a little hybrid. But as long as it's not taken away from the kids who have an opportunity to go out there and showcase themselves, then I really like it, because it adds an advantage, because you're not getting to see the American kids against a lot of them. Are either they're playing high school or they're playing USHL or they're playing NCAA. So to get them all on the same ice would be great. But to Grant's point, hopefully it's not at the expense of any CHL talent, because they do deserve to showcase what they've worked for.
Well, if we'd had that just one team against the other, Colton Roberts probably isn't playing.
Well, exactly.
And we don't get to see what we saw last night, just as an example, right? So, or maybe even Boyar maybe isn't even playing or, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I really hope that it's two teams. That'd be great if they did something like what you suggested, but obviously that would make too much sense. So they're not. So, but yeah, I mean, presumably it's going to be two teams. I hope so.
That's it. No, the details have yet to be ironed out, right? But as far as we can tell, right, it's only logical to have two teams if it's going to be two games. So we'll just assume the best for now, and we'll see next year. But exciting development, seeing that the U.S. Players are going to be involved in the game as well. That's really, really good. So That's about it for the CHL Top Prospect game. Now we move on to Rocco's Riser of the Week. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Kieran Walton.
I thought they might play the Waltons theme there.
No, so we got Kieran Walton, left winger for the Sudbury Wolves, wearing number 22 on your screen. Massive specimen, coming in at 6'6", 210 pounds. 39 games played this year. He's got 15 goals, 32 points. Big, big, big winger. Blends size with skating and skill elements to his game. So he's kind of exciting in that sense. I find he moves around the ice really well for his size, especially given that. Not just offensively, defensively. He uses his speed well. He can close guys off. Back checks hard. So he's not a big lug out there, which you really like to see. You might want to see his quickness improve just a little bit, but at 6'6", I'm not going to be too hard on him for that, because that's very normal and that'll come. I don't see a ton of issues with mechanics or anything, so I'm really not worried. I think his skating overall, considering his size, is a plus attribute for him. He brings some sneaky offensive skill to the table here. He's playing third line minutes on a really stacked team, so he's only getting about 13, 14 minutes a night. He's not seeing first power play, seeing the second unit, but he's still somewhere, you know, just under 0.75, 0.8 points per game. So given the amount of ice he sees, I actually like his counting stats offensively. With the puck on his stick, I find he has pretty good vision. He doesn't get tunnel vision. He really does a good job scanning the offensive zone and seeing what the smart play is to make. He can hit a guy with an open pass. He on the first clip there, he had a really nice assist, I thought, on Villeneuve's goal. So he is able to dish the puck. Good stick as well on him, so he's able to fish loose pucks out, control pucks in feet, control them in traffic, which, again, being a bigger guy, you like to see, because that does speak to some ability to be able to get down there low and get loose pucks out from a bunch of guys half your size. As a shooter, he does a nice job kind of gliding into open areas. He's not really ever standing still unless it's kind of in front of the net where he's trying to create traffic. But if the play is kind of fluid, he does a nice job of always kind of floating around, creating seams, not making it easy for the D to key on him. And that results in him being able to get some good shooting opportunities off. He has a pretty decent one-timer. You don't see it as much in this game, but I've seen some other times where he can rip the puck pretty good when he has an opportunity. He plays with really good support, supports the puck very well, I find, actually in both zones, especially as a weak side winger. He knows what to do to stay high, support the puck, make sure it's not giving anything up the other way, and also sneak in to that high area for openings as well. Nose for the net, which you would hope he does as a big player, which is good to see. So nose for the net, he's always kind of lurking around the crease, waiting, kind of biding his time, eyeing, seeing when a loose puck might pop out. You can tell he's actively looking for those opportunities. So that's good. He's got some good sense around the front of the crease. Big body, so as you'd expect, he does use his body to protect the puck very well. It's tough for guys to get much on him. You know, you can't really reach around him. He does a good job turning his back and using his size and strength to fend guys off. And now with bigger guys, sometimes in junior, it's almost too easy for them to do that. So you can kind of sometimes give them a little too much credit, but what can you do? You never really know until they get out against other full grown men, more their size and strength. But again, at least in junior, he looks like very strong and very able to protect the puck quite well. Like I mentioned earlier, he's good on the back check. I don't have any issues for him in terms of his effort level two-way. I kind of find he seems to kind of take some pride in forcing turnovers, because he does it on a few occasions in these clips. So you like when he has a good effort. I'm not worried about him being a one-dimensional floaty type player. Good stick defensively. Like I said, able to fish him out, turn plays the other ways, creates a couple odd man rushes for his team here in these clips. So in terms of areas to improve, I would like him to be a little bit more physical. I'd like him to use his big body a little bit more. 6'6", 210 pounds. For me, I want to see you running guys through the boards pretty much, as long as it's a clean play. Put a little fear. You don't have to play dirty, but play hard. You're twice everybody's size, and people on the other team, they should be timid of you when you're on the ice. And I don't find he brings any sort of physical intimidation factor. And now that is something that can change over time, but he plays a skill game. So he's out there. He's not really looking to be out pounding guys, but at 6'6", he's not, I don't find him soft, but he could be a little bit harder. If there was one thing, that would be it. But I do like him. I do like him overall, because he does bring the skill to it. He's not just a size player. I could see him having some different opinions on him. I could see guys having some pretty divergent thoughts about what he might project to. There's not a lot of guys at this size that can play in the league. He's almost too big as a forward, but there's a couple guys that can do it. And if he can do it, he can be tough to play against. I think his range, if you like him, you might like him somewhere late second. If you don't like him as much, his tools are good enough to keep him no later than the fourth for me. I personally see him somewhere comfortably as a third rounder right now, but he's a guy that's just come on. He's not in a ton of top 90 lists sort of so far yet. So my first chance to see him was this past week or so. I watched three or four games. So someone to keep an eye on, because I feel like he really could go either way. And when the game gets more physical in the playoffs, you'll see if he does have that physical element or not. That's when that question will be answered for him. But there's some upside here. He's a very toolsy player, and it's, you know, you can't teach big.
Yeah. What do you think of scouting that game with the blue numbers? With the good thing he's 6'6", so you just looked for the tall guy, right? But blue numbers on blue shirts.
Holy goodness. I mean, it helps when he's playing with Villeneuve. It makes it pretty obvious which one is which.
Right. Right.
But yeah, not ideal.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking, I'm squinting. Is that Villeneuve? Because the other guy wasn't that big either. But I've tried to scout a couple of Sudbury games with those blue numbers on blue shirts, and it's just, why do they insist on doing that? Like, it just drives me crazy. Maybe it looks good to the designer, but there's no practical purpose for it, you know? Yeah. Don't put dark numbers on dark sweaters. It just, it's happening more and more where the practicality's out the window, and it's all about, oh, that looks, you know, that's the person that designed it. We can't argue with it. That looks great. But anyway.
What do you think about chrome helmets?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chrome helmets.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that there are there numbers on the helmets?
No.
Yeah, no. I'm not crazy about it either. But, you know, especially when the glare, you know, there's a glare and you can't see the number, you know, the glare off of the chrome helmet. But, yeah, he's got a pretty good knee bend for a 6'6 kid, you know. A lot of times they're kind of upright, and he's got pretty strong lower body considering, you know, he's a 17-year-old 6'6 kid, right? I think we were both a little disappointed with his game last night at the top prospect. A couple times in the corners there where I wanted him to, you know, be hard on the puck, and it was just kind of, he was, give him a little, and they even saw in the highlights there, where he go into the corner and he just kind of, you know. Yeah. You got to use your size. If you want to be in the top two rounds, you're 6'6". Nothing drives scouts crazier. And maybe it's not, you know, always fair, but they don't want to see a guy that they perceive as being a bit soft that's that size. I mean, if he was 5'11", you wouldn't say he's soft, right?
No, but, exactly. And that's why I said, like, I don't want to call him soft, but just because he's so right. big, you'd like to see him have that element. That's because there's no friggin' reason. There's no reason why you can't hammer a guy clean, like clean, but hammer a guy to the point that for the rest of the game, he knows where you are on the ice. And
don't say friggin'. That's you corrected yourself there. I'm glad you did that, Rocco. We don't say friggin' on the DraftCast.
Yeah, no problem. But yeah, but like you said, it's frustrating a little bit when you are that big. And I didn't think he had the best game last night. But again, I'm not going to crucify a guy for not having his 100% best in a one-off game. But there were times that yeah, you definitely like to see him be a little bit harder. And like even in those clips, like a lot of time, and he has a good stick, so he's fishing the puck with a stick a lot of time. But sometimes just go in and just pound a guy and then and take the puck. And yeah. but there's lots of time between 17 and 22 years old to add that and fill out his frame and make that a dimension, because there's no reason that he can't have that dimension to his game. But these are not finished products. So
that's it. Right on. Kieran Walton is Rocco's riser of the week. Now, Rocco, you had mentioned earlier in the show that there was a winger in particular that you liked a bit more than Tiija Ginla. And he just so happens.
I don't know that I necessarily like him more, because there's nothing about a Ginla's game that I would rather him play anywhere else. But this guy is so damn talented.
Yeah, yeah. And he just so happens to be our prospect of the week. That being, of course, Ivan Demidov, who had himself one hell of a game. Let's have a look.
Yeah. Well, this is the game. He had two games this past week. Mm-hmm. And in this one here, he was Mr. Playmaker, goal and four assists. So, you know, I just quickly grabbed the highlights of his points in that one. And you could just see that the vision on him, and there's his goal. Of course, just a one-timer, boom. But he's got great vision and puck skills, and creates a ton of offense. Now, here is the game that his last game. He had 5 goals. Now, this... he had a natural hat trick in the first 8.5 minutes of the game. Now, this is just, look at this shot. I mean, it's just labeled. And here you get a better close-up look. Like, that's a sniper. So, but on top of that, I mean, this guy has puck-carrying skills that, I mean, are rare. He reminds me of Kovalev with the puck. He's so balanced, so shifty, so strong, silky mitts. And you'll see some of these that are just right here. That, and then we'll get to see this here. Just check him out here, what he does here.
Come on.
How often have you seen that? And that's a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this game, every single shift, he did something like that. Like, not exactly like that, but something that just made your jaw drop. And here's another one. Like, I don't... I was watching this game like that. There, you didn't even get a point on that one. And there's a few others like that in this game where it's just every shift he did something dynamic. He's the most skilled player in this draft class. I think Celebrini is super skilled. This guy's even got even more skill. So he's listed at 168 pounds. They better get the scale back out, because I think that was from 2 years ago. And I mean, there's some shifts in here where you'll see it, just how strong he is, that he knocks guys down, he bowls guys over. Unless he's pound for pound the strongest 168-pound teenager on the planet, I'd be shocked if he's not closer to 190. Mm-hmm. But look at how he, you know, his feet are just, he shields the puck. He changes his direction on with his feet just so artfully. It's just a pleasure to watch this kid. I mean, you know how much I loved him in the summer. He mm-hmm. was, I thought, SKA's top forward a lot of nights in the KHL. But there you got a glimpse of, he's competitive too. So just think of if Kovalev would have been a two-way player, consistently competitive. That's what this guy looks like to me. And then again, you see his strength. Like, he shields the puck perfectly, then does the beautiful drop pass to the teammate. Here, wham. You'll see this up close, just how good a shot that this kid has. Mm. How many goalies are going to stop that in the NHL? None? Like, that's perfect shot. Just above the pad, right off the inside of the post. So, I mean, it's just the offensive skills there. Again, a guy that runs into, like, he runs right over guys. So, I don't know that there's flaw in his game. So, other than the fact that he's playing in Russia and we may not see him for 2 or 3 years, but as far as his game goes, I just, I don't see any part of his game that I think is bad or below average. That includes his defensive game, his competitiveness, his physicality, his character. I've heard nothing but great things about, you know, I talked to a guy that has Russian connections in the summer all the time. And, you know, he wasn't crazy about Michkov's character, but he said, this guy, he said, he's the real one, this kid. And he told me that in the summer. And I, you know, look at this. Like, he just, he's a better puck carrier than Bedard, I believe. Like, that's, it's just, that, look, that was shorthanded, okay? That whole shift, he dominated with the puck, and he was killing the penalty.
Ridiculous.
Look at this.
I like the Sully after, too. Hang up the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I just, wow. Bedard had that 4-goal game last year, you know, in the World Juniors that, well, one of the best junior performances I've ever seen. But this game yesterday, I have not seen a better performance from a player in a junior hockey game ever.
Wow.
This is just, well, look at him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing with these guys, and he's 17 years old. You know, I just have not. I just he's playing against Amursky. They're a first place team in their division.
What the hell?
They had not given up more than 6 goals in a game. The last time they played against SKA, Demidov was injured. They lost 3. They beat SKA 3-2 the last time they played them.
Wow. Well,
Demidov, first 8 minutes, put the game away and then just kept doing it all game. And they won 12-0 with him getting 6 points and 5 goals. So this just absolutely floored me. I had him 3. We had some discussions and I dropped him back to 4 because Soleyev, you know, but I'm putting him back up to 3 or maybe 2. There, that's not even a point. And he just made another fantastic play. It was just, have you ever seen an offensive display like that?
I honestly forgot I was on a podcast for a minute because I was like watching the screen, like just with my jaw dropped. I forgot to chime in, but I was just like, oh my God, he is slick. His edges are
unbelievable.
He has edges like Kenny Wu.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But, I mean,
that's absurd. You know. And Grant, like, the only reason why this guy's not in conversation for first overall is because he's Russian. If Ivan Demidov was playing, in the Saskatoon Blades,
Yeah.
He'd be right up there with Celebrini, right?
Oh, well. I mean, 6 goals, 5 assists in 2 games. In his last 15 games, 18 goals, 19 assists. This year in junior, he's averaging 1.96 points per game. The next closest is 1.4. Like, it's just, he's getting called back up to SKA. They'd be nuts. Like, he's just, he can be in their top two lines now. I know they're conservative there and that they don't like to, you know, I mean, even though he was their best player, I think, in preseason, he started the year fourth line and in the box, and then he got injured, sent to junior. There's just no way that he can't help SKA right now. I mean, that he's too good for junior, Russian junior. Bring him up. I think after that game, they'd be nuts not to. So, I mean, the way things are shaping up with this draft class now, you know, Celebrini's like Bob was saying, he's not Sidney Crosby, but there's a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. He's a lot of similarities to John Toews. So let's say he's just John Toews, he becomes, right?
Pretty good.
Then you've got Saleyev. Yes. Yeah. And then you got Saleyev, who's, you know, Victor Hedman comparisons. Yeah. Then you've got the Belarusian kid that's 6'3", that's tearing up NCAA as a freshman. You know, maybe he the next Sergachev or better. Then you've got the 6'4 center that's averaged almost a goal a game in junior that's tough, Keith Primo. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Demidov, who might be better than all – that's more skilled than all of them.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be better than Kaprizov and Panarin. I just don't see – I have not seen a Russian prospect with that skill since Bure. I haven't. It's just he is so dynamic, and I'm so, and then we're not even getting into it. Aginla, who could be the next Aginla?
Literally, yeah.
You know, Sam Dickinson, Perek could be the like, you know, we hear Eric Karlsson comparisons for his offense.
Yeah,
this top 10 is one of the best. It's shaping up to be one of the best top 10s in draft history. So I'm getting more and more excited. If you're a non-playoff team in the NHL right now, get excited, guys, because you are getting a heck of a prospect. Mm. Carter Yakimchuk, I mean, 6'3 dangler that's what? More than a point per game defenseman in the dub.
And we haven't even mentioned the three Americans yet.
No, Yzerman, you know, Connolly, who just – one of the best World Junior A Challenge performances ever.
Yeah.
Like the top 15 this year, it stacks up with some of the best of all time. It really does. So
looking at 2013 and 2015 today, and you know, it might not have McKinnon or McDavid, but that sort of depth where if you miss the playoffs, you're getting a player, and it's not just the top 10. Exactly. Like you said, it goes to 12, 13, 14. Like, If you're in the playoffs, you're getting a guy. Bleam, we hadn't mentioned, but he's tearing it up too. There's lots of guys. Catton was coming here as a top five pick. We're not even talking about him in the top 10.
Hellenius is the first line center in Liga in his draft here, and right now, I mean, he's dropping as far as I'm concerned. You know, he's might be 11 or 12. So it's just the top 12, right? Top 15 is just. It's really shaping up to be, you know, one of the best top 15s as far as quality and depth goes. It's just it's a bit of everything. So it's exciting. It's exciting.
That's it. No, I mean, teams drafting in the top 10, even beyond, they almost can't go wrong. Like, if you manage to screw this up, damn, like that's bad. But Ivan Demidov is an exciting player. I think that's the best way to describe him. He's just exhilarating, fantastic hockey player. Before we move on to our Habs prospect of the week, obviously we have to thank our man Rocco, as always, for your insight. Cue the music. See you next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. All right, we thank Rocco as always. for his valuable insight. Now we get into our Habs prospect of the week. And this is a guy that, Grant, you've always been high on, and so have I, but he's kind of fallen out of mind for a lot of Habs fans for no particular reason, because he's actually playing really well, and that's Oliver Kapanen. Talk to us about him.
Yeah, for sure. No, Kapanen's we're not going to see Demidov here, obviously. You know, it's a bit of a letdown after what we just saw, but
hard to beat.
He's just having a terrific year, and he's really, really come on in the last month for Kalpa. He's been there first. He's, you know, even when he was in his slumping there, as far as offense goes, they kept, he was still playing 19 minutes a game, because he's just so, he's a two-way centerman. You know, he plays both ends of the rink, good on faceoffs, really strong along the boards, in his own zone, coming back. But these highlights give you an idea of the offensive potential that he has as well, to be a middle line center in the NHL, and soon, like, him and Beck are going to be duking it out for a middle line center spot.
Yeah.
You know, starting training camp next year. It's funny. I've seen him be on the point man and run the power play at Kalpa this year, and he did a good job. But now they've got him playing kind of where Suzuki does a lot of times for the Canadians, kind of the deep high slot. And he's got a really good shot, as you see in these highlights, and scored a few goals with it on the power play in recent games. In his last six games, he has 4 goals and 9 points while averaging 19.04 in ice time a game. The top scorer in Liga is averaging 1.21 points per game. So, you know, 1.5 points per game, albeit in a small sample size, is really impressive at this level, especially for a 20-year-old. Like, he doesn't turn 21 till like late July. His Corsi rating over those six games is 61%. Again, for a 20-year-old center playing in Liga, there haven't been many through the years that that are playing as an important two-way role as Kapanen is. He's just he's playing exceptional for his age, and I really think people don't necessarily, you know, people in North America don't see him. So, and then they look at this overall stats and think, well, you know, that's not great. But considering his role, again, there he was the guy back, you know, the last guy back. He's just very smart defensively, conscientious. There he is in the middle again, getting off a good shot. So he's got some goal scoring ability on the power play. His skating has really improved. And that helps him with the forechecking, like we just saw on that play there. Very smart, you know, gets the puck, stole the puck, made the play. What really stood out in this game, too, for me, was that he had 9 shots on net. So he's taken 35 shots on goal in his last 6 games, which is great. One player in league is averaging close to that a game. So, I mean, he was constantly finding the prime scoring areas in this game and ended up, like I say, with 9 shots on goals. So a dominant performance by him, and very impressive. And I'm including all of the highlights, obviously, along with here at the end, I'm showing all of his points that he got in the last 9 games. So very impressive.
Yeah. As if you're a Habs fan, pretty excited about that. And the idea of potentially drafting in the top 10, as we mentioned, you know, the Habs prospect pool is going to deepen very quickly, and it's already pretty deep. So should be pretty excited about that. And that'll about do it for us. We thank you for tuning in, as always. Your support does not go on deaf ears. We really appreciate it. Grant, any parting words from your end?
Well, we got the word to wrap it up there. Guys got to get on to another podcast. So that's it. No more.
We're busy here. We're pretty busy. But, you know, we had an interview with the legend himself, Bob McKenzie. So if you haven't checked that out yet, we do yourself a favor. He talks in depth about, you know, the big boys in this draft. Lots of great insight there. So we highly recommend you go check that out. And click subscribe, because we're not done. We got more more interviews coming, more shows like this. So if you like this stuff, click subscribe and you know, never miss a video. So thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you in the next one.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.